listening to a Sword of the Lord audio production. For many years, Dr. Curtis Hudson pastored the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. Under his leadership, this church grew to become the largest independent Baptist church in the state. The message you are about to hear is simply entitled, Justification. This message was preached on December 2nd, 1973, at Forest Hills Baptist Church. And now, here's Dr. Curtis Hudson.
Open your Bible this morning to the book of Romans chapter 5 and the books of Acts chapter 13. I want to share with you several verses from Romans chapter 5 and then two verses from Acts chapter 13. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, and please give your undivided attention to the reading of God's Word. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, that by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I never get used to this business of preaching. It's not something you learn how to do. It's something that you must have the leadership and the power and the blessings of God upon every time you stand. And I feel just as needy this morning as I did that first Sunday night I stood in the old country church and opened my Bible to Luke 14 and preached on come, for all things are now ready. No man has the wisdom, the ability to say the words that will pierce into the hearts of men and make them want to be saved. That alone is the work of the Holy Spirit, and so we rely completely upon him. I pray this morning the Holy Spirit will arrest the tension of every individual in this room. May every Christian here have a burden now for the salvation of sinners. May they pray for this service. May they ask the Lord what they can do to be a blessing and help. May this be our reaping when souls come home to thee. Help someone this morning to get their own record clear and to leave this building justified in thy sight. And I'll thank you because I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention to Acts chapter 13, verse 39, which will serve as a text for the sermon this morning. By him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And I want to speak this morning very simply, briefly, and scripturally on the subject, justification. The Bible has in it some wonderful words. If I were asked, what do you think is the greatest word in the Bible, I'd have a difficult time choosing. I like the word grace. The word grace is found 155 times in the New Testament alone. It's a wonderful word. A man could preach his life away and never depart from the subject of the grace of God. I like the word love in the Bible. It's found often there. I like the word forgiveness. I like the word redemption. I even like that little word faith, believe. But to me, one of the greatest words in the Bible has to be this word justification. And sad but true, many people live and die without ever fully understanding what the Bible means by the expression justified. By way of introduction, let me say that all men need to be justified. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. The Bible said, "There is not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." The book of Job is agreed to be the oldest book in the Bible. It is so old that scholars cannot agree as to exactly when it was written. Job asked several questions in that book, and one of the questions he asked is, how can he that's born of woman be justified before God? All men need to be justified because all men are guilty. We may not all be guilty in the same degree, but we're all guilty. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that is Jesus, the sin or guilt of us all. Not all men manifest their sin nature to the same degree. But the Bible is true when it says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the word sin literally means to transgress the law of God. You say, well, I'm not a bad transgressor. There's many commandments that I have not broken. As a matter of fact, I've never committed adultery. I've never killed anyone. I never robbed a bank. I never led a life of crime. And yet the Bible said in James 2:10 that if a man offend the law in any one point, he's guilty of all. That's a big statement. That means if you've offended God's law in any one point, you're guilty of breaking the entire law in God's sight. You say, but I've never committed immorality. I know the commandment says thou shalt not commit adultery, but I've never committed immorality. I would remind you that Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If you've had the desire one time and conceive lust one time, then Jesus said you're guilty of breaking all the law. If a man is hanging in a tree with a chain that has 10 links and one link breaks, what's the result? He falls. If 2 links break, what's the result? He falls. If all 10 links break, it makes absolutely no difference. He would not fall any harder than he would if only one link in the chain broke. The point I'm trying to make is this. All of us have somewhere in our lives at some time offended the law of God in some point or other. The first and greatest commandment, according to the words of Jesus, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Most of us have offended in this one point. And being offenders in any point, Jesus said, we're guilty of all. So since all of us are guilty sinners, though our degree of guilt may vary, all of us need justification. Now, there are 3 or 4 things I want to ask and answer. The first one is this. Justification, what is it? You've heard the word over and over again. What does it mean? Well, the word justified literally means to be cleared from all guilt, to be freed from every charge. I think I can illustrate it. The criminal is arrested for his crime. He's brought into court and he's tried. All the evidence is heard and the jury goes out and finds the criminal guilty. And they come back and say, this man is guilty of a certain crime. A second man is arrested for a supposed crime. And he's brought into court and he's tried. All the evidence is heard and the jury goes out and they come back and say, this man is acquitted. Acquitted is a word we use synonymous with the word justified. It means the same thing. It literally means this man is not guilty. The sentence is in favor of the criminal. He's been acquitted. The man is justified. Now in Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39, God does two things that no human judge can ever do. The Bible says here in Acts 13 that in verse 38, that unto you is preached the forgiveness of sins, and all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. God both forgives and justifies. No human judge can do that. Because the word forgiveness implies guilt, and no human judge can justify a guilty man. He may show mercy to the guilty man, and he may be lenient and give him a light sentence, but he cannot justify the man. He cannot do away with the fact that the man is guilty of the crime committed. But did you know that God not only forgives, but God can do away with the guilt that the man has committed and fix the man up as if he had never committed a single sin in all of his life? God can forgive and justify, and that's what the Bible offers to the believing sinner. Justification is not probation. Probation means that you're let out under one condition, that you don't commit another crime for a certain period of time. And if you commit a crime in a certain period of time, you go back under the original sentence. God does not offer probation. He does not say, all right, you turn to me, and then if you don't commit any sins for a certain length of time, you can go free. But if you slip up within a certain period of time, you go back under that old sentence, which is death, the second death, the lake of fire. No, God does not offer probation. God offers justification. He literally clears us from all the guilt and all the blame, and we stand before God as if we had never committed a single sin in all of our lives. Righteous, more righteous I cannot be, for in the person of His Son I'm just as righteous as He. Justified, more justified I cannot be, for in the person of His Son I'm just as He. Justification, what is it? And then justification, who does it? Who is the author of justification? I'm happy to report to you that God is the author. In Romans 8:33, the Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It is not the church that removes my guilt and past. It is not the baptismal waters that removes my guilt and past. It is not the fact that I've united with an independent Baptist church that removes my guilt and past. It is not my association with good people. It is not my promise to live good that removes my guilt and past, but it is God Himself who is the author of justification. If the preacher came to me and said, Curtis, I hereby absolve you of all your sins, I guess I would be kind and thank him, but I would know that only God can do that. The Bible said only God can forgive sins. It is God that justifies us. If every court in town were to declare you justified or acquitted and you were guilty, it would not change the fact that you were guilty. And you would go to the grave with that guilt on your heart, with your conscience bothering you. It is possible for a man to be arrested for a crime and be tried and be declared not guilty when in reality he is guilty. I heard the story of a man that had stolen a gold watch, and they brought him in before the judge, and they had a trial, and the judge listened to the testimony, and he said, you are acquitted. The fellow looked up and said, does that mean I've got to give the watch back? Sometime human judges make mistakes. A man came to me in a distant state from here and told me that he was guilty of robbing a bank and no one knew about it. He's now a successful businessman. So far as the town's concerned, he's justified. But in his own heart, there's guilt. And he knows there's guilt. And he feels the guilt. And his conscience bothers him. But God can justify the believing sinner and clear him from all guilt. God is the author of justification. And I like what Paul said. He says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That means that nobody can come along and say, J.C. Sullivan, he was a criminal. He drove for Bonnie and Clyde. He robbed banks. He's lived a wicked, dirty life. You can't say that. When God justifies and clears from the guilt, Paul says nobody can lay anything to the charge of the justified man. In God's sight, J.C. Sullivan never one time committed a single sin. And if J.C. Sullivan were to go to heaven now and say, dear God, I'm sorry about robbing that bank, God'd say, what are you talking about, J.C.? He'd say, you know that bank. He said, no, I don't know. Well, God, I know I did it. Oh, you did? Well, I don't remember it. Why? Because Isaiah 43:25 says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. I will blot them out. It's not that God is forgetful. It's that God purposes to forget as well as forgive and clear you from the sin. And he doesn't even remember the sin you committed before you put your faith in him. That's justification. And God's the author of that justification. Heard the story of a man in the army who was from Texas. And he was bragging. And he said, well, we got jackrabbits in Texas as big as kangaroos. And this little Georgia boy looked at him and said, it ain't so. Why, he said, man, it is so. There's jackrabbits in Texas as big as kangaroos. He said, it ain't so. And about this time, this big old Texan, 7 foot tall, walked over. Said, what are y'all talking about? And this Texas boy said, I just telling this Georgia boy there's jackrabbits in Texas as big as kangaroos. And he said, he told me it wasn't so. And that big old Texan looked at him and said, boy, I said, it is so too. And that Georgia boy said, now, if you said it, it's so. And it depends on who says it that makes it so or not. And it wasn't the church that said I'm justified. It wasn't the baptistry that justified me. It wasn't my association with good people. But Romans 8:33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God himself that justifies. Not only who, but let me say a word about when. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And underline the word now. Much more than being now, N-O-W, now justified by his blood. You know, a lot of people who have joined churches have the idea that, well, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to endure to the end. And when I die and face God in heaven, I hope that he will admit me in. You know, you don't have to do that. The Bible says you're N-O-W, now justified. I'm just as justified this morning while I stand here preaching as I will be after I've been in heaven for 10,000 years. I won't be any more justified after I've been in heaven a million years than I'm justified now, because the Bible said now we're justified by His blood. I think some of the hymn writers were backslidden. The fellow who wrote, "When I Can Read My Title Clear." What do you mean, when you can read it clear? You can't read it clear now? I can read my title clear now in Romans 5:9. How can you read Romans 5:9 being now justified and saying, "When I can read my title clear"? You already can read it clear. Uncle Bud Robertson, the tongue-tied Nazarene preacher, went forward in a church under the preaching of a Methodist evangelist. And Uncle Bud gave the testimony in his tongue-tied way and said, "When I went forward that day," he said, "I couldn't read my name in boxcar letter." But he said, "As I went forward and knelt at the altar and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior," he said, "though I couldn't read my name in boxcar letters when I went down," he said, "when I got up, I could read my titles clear to mansions in the sky." And I can read mine clear today. It's not something He promises to do a million years from now, provided you meet all the conditions. The Bible said in Law or in Acts 13:39, "He that believeth is justified from all things from whence the law of Moses could not justify." No matter what you've done, God clears the guilt. God cleans the slate. We're justified now. Sometimes we sing, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." We ought to sing, "He's washed me and I am whiter than snow." We ought to sing, "Thank God I'm reading my titles clear now." My dear old granddaddy, God bless his heart, but he used to pray, and at the close of his prayer he'd say something like this: "And save us at last for Jesus' sake. Amen." He never prayed without saying that. He never had assurance of salvation. He'd say the blessing at the table, he'd close, "And save us at last." I wish I had the opportunity of going back and talking to him and say, "Grandpa, listen, Grandpa, quit adding that 'save us at last' business on that. If you trust Jesus, you're saved now, not at last now. He that believeth is justified now, Romans 5:9, by his blood," N-O-W. I'm just as sure to go to heaven as I'm standing here. And so far as God's concerned, I'm already there. You say, "How?" I'm there in the person of His Son, because I'm member of His body, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Justification. What is it? Justification. Who does it? Justification, when does it happen? Now. And then something else. Justification, how does it happen? Again, Romans chapter 5, verse 9. "Much more than being now justified by His blood." You're justified by His blood. Listen carefully. You say, "That doesn't make sense." Well, listen. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without shedding of blood there's no remission." There's no remitting of the guilt, no cleansing of the sin, no cleansing of the guilt. It says here, we're justified by His blood. That's why I make a big fuss about blood. And that's why I don't like the modernists who deny the blood. And that's why I reject any version of the Bible that substitutes something for the word blood. Because that's the way you're justified. You see, listen, blood represents life. Leviticus 17:11 says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." And you're alive as long as your blood is circulating. And when your blood quits circulating, you're dead. Now, how are we justified by His blood then? "The life of the flesh is in the blood, but shed blood speaks of death." And listen, 2,000 years ago, God Almighty took every sin you've ever committed since you were born. God Almighty took every sin you ever will commit if you live to be 1,000 years old. And God placed that sin over on Jesus, just like I take this Bible and lay it over on this hand. And the Bible said He, His own self, bare our sin in His own body on the tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And Isaiah 53:6 says, The Lord Jehovah God in heaven hath laid on Jesus the sin of us all. And 2,000 years ago at the cross, Jesus Christ bore all my guilt and all my blame, and He bore all my sin in His own body. And while Jesus Christ was made guilty in my place, then God exacted the penalty. And God collected the payment that He had demanded for my sin. But He collected it from Jesus Christ while He was on the cross bearing my sins. And bearing my sin, He paid the debt that I owe. And the Bible said in Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the crowning of glory and honor, for the suffering of death, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He bore every sin J.C. Sullivan's ever committed or ever will commit. He bore the sin of every dope addict. He bore the sin of every alcoholic. He bore the sin of every adulterous man and woman. He bore the sin of every bank robber and murderer. He bore the sin of Hitler, who was responsible for the slaughter of 6 million Jews. All I know is the Bible said He bore the sin of all the world in His own body. And while bearing the sin of the whole world, then God said, Now, I'm a just God, and I said the wages of sin is death, and man has to pay, and now while my Son is bearing his sin, I'll collect the payment. And while Jesus was on the cross, God actually put Him to death in my place to collect the payment that I owe. Isaiah 53:10 said it pleased Jehovah to bruise Him and to make His soul an offering for sin. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Romans 8:32 says, God that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up to the death for us all. There He hangs on the cross. There He is bearing my sin, and there He is suffering my hell. And hanging on the cross, He screams out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? God turned His own back and pulled the shades of heaven. Jesus died in a darkness so thick that you could feel it. With not a friend by Him. Jesus literally went to hell and suffered what I ought to suffer. And now the great judge comes out. And sounds his gavel. And says to a guilty world, all of you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of you are guilty in some measure, maybe not all the same, but all of you are guilty. None of you have lived perfect. All of you came short of God's glory. All of you missed the mark by some measure. But I can clear you. I not only can forgive you of the guilt, but I can clear you from the guilt because I took care of that guilt. I put it on my Son. And my Son was on the cross bearing your guilt, and He shed His blood, and you can be justified now by His blood. What does it mean? By His life, by His death. He shed that blood. He gave that life to pay the debt that you owe, and you can be cleared from the guilt because He died for the guilt. You're justified by His blood. And then Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely. Freely. Isn't that a wonderful word? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. You're justified freely by God's unmerited favor in allowing Jesus to die in your place by His grace. I don't deserve to be justified, Lord, but You promised You'd justify me freely by Your grace. because your son shed his blood and paid the debt that I owe. You know what? The sad thing is men hear this story over and over again. And they hear it and they understand it, but it's hard for them to believe it. Men are religious. And man thinks it can't be that easy. I must complicate it a little bit. It can't be that easy. You can't tell me, preacher, that you can be justified simply by trusting Jesus Christ. Yeah, I can tell you that. A French evangelist told an old lady, very wicked lady, how Jesus loved her and died for her on the cross, and he explained the story that I just explained. And said, now you can be saved by trusting him. And the old lady said, that's not enough. That's not enough. And the evangelist was startled, and he raised his voice, and he said, how dare you? How dare you look into the face of God and say that's not enough? When God sent his son to this world 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and God Almighty took all your dirty sins and placed them on Jesus Christ. And hanging out there on the cross, God actually punished him in your place and sent him to hell in your place. And he hung out there alone while God turned his back on him. He cried for water and got vinegar. He actually suffered hell, torment on that cross, bearing your sins. And God says, if you'll believe on him, you'll be saved. How dare you to have the insolence to look in the face of God and say that's not enough? The lady's chin quivered and she wept and she said, sir, I see it. I see it. I see it, sir. I see it. It is enough. It is enough for God and it is enough for me, and I'll trust him. I promise you it was enough for God. Because when they took down the body of Jesus and buried it in a barred tomb, after 3 days and nights, God raised up Jesus from the dead as a declaration to the whole world that I'm satisfied with the payment my son made for the sins of the world. Because the prisoner is not allowed to go free until the debt is paid to society. Till he stayed there the last day of the sentence, then he goes free. And God Almighty would not let Jesus go free until Jesus had paid the debt for every sinner who ever has lived and ever will live. And when he had paid the debt in full that every sinner owes, God said, all right, let him out. It's paid. I'm satisfied. My justice is satisfied. Let him out! And on the third day, the stone rolled away and Jesus Christ came out and he sits at the right hand of God in heaven now, saying, it's all finished. If you'll accept what I've done, you're cleared from all guilt, you're justified, you're on your way to heaven. One word in closing. How can you make it your own? Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. But the Bible word faith means more than to believe in your head. Let me explain it briefly and simply. The Bible word faith means to trust, to depend, to rely upon. And the Bible said we're justified by faith. By faith in what? Here it is. You must believe in your head this, as well as your heart. You must really believe that you are a guilty sinner. You must really believe that you're not just now. You must believe as a guilty sinner that you owe a penalty. The wages of sin is death. And you must really believe that Jesus Christ was not a sinner and that the Bible is true, that God sent His Son Jesus here to this world and that Jesus Christ bore your guilt. You must believe that. You must believe that when Jesus Christ died on a cross, He died to pay the debt that you owe. You must believe that. You not only must believe it, but you must trust it. You must depend on it. You must rely on that and that alone. If you're depending on your baptism to get you to heaven, you're as lost as you can be. If you're depending on your church membership to get you to heaven, you're as lost as you can be. You say you're judging. No, I'm not. I'm reading the verdict of the judge. The judge said, "He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God," John 3:18. You've got to depend on Jesus Christ and Him alone to get you to heaven. He didn't say, "I'm part of the way." He didn't say, "I'm a good way." He didn't say, "I'm one of the many ways." He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." You must come to the place in your life where you say, "I'm a guilty sinner. I owe the sin debt. I deserve to die and go to hell. But I believe the gospel story that Jesus Christ loved me. And 2,000 years ago, He took my place and He suffered my hell and He paid my debt. And I can't get myself to heaven. I'll completely trust Him and Him alone." And when you do that, the Bible says you have everlasting life. Listen, friend. I'm not going to heaven because I live good, and God knows I try to live good. I'm not going to heaven because I've never had the smoking habit. I'm not going to heaven because I have never tasted whiskey. I'm not going to heaven because I stayed at home, didn't run away when I was 14 years old. I'm not going to heaven because I haven't robbed banks or committed any crimes. I'm not going to heaven because I've been able to live a pure moral life these years. Well, I'd go to hell as fast as J.C. Sullivan would. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died in my place, paid my debt, and I'm trusting that to get me to heaven. And that's why J.C. Sullivan's going to heaven. And that's why everybody else here is going to heaven. And that's why anybody who goes to heaven will go to heaven, because that's the only way to go to heaven. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'll dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, completely, entirely, without reservation, lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You're guilty, but you can have all your guilt removed and stand before God when you die as white and as clean as the driven snow, without one sin to answer for, and it can all be yours by faith, trusting Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith.
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.